Hey everybody, this is Greg Hine here, and we're here for episode 4 of FD Insights. Here with me today, I have joining us John Cosey. He's with the Flight Docs team and visiting from Louisville, Kentucky.
That's right.
John, you say hello.
Hey everybody, how you doing? This is John.
John is part of our customer success team as an account manager. I think previously as a product specialist, joined us at Flight Docs just about a year and a half ago or so. Has a lot of experience in aviation, has come from corporate flight department in the past. Wanted to, you know, just introduce everybody to John and talk a little bit about his experience and what he's doing here at Flight Docs for our team, for our customers. So I guess, John, do you want to give us a little bit of a rundown about your experience leading up to joining the team about a year and a half ago?
Yeah, absolutely. So my career in aviation started off right out of high school, F-16 crew chief in the Air Force. You know, as a dumb 19-year-old, didn't know what I wanted to do in life, and the recruiter threw a lot of money at me and said, go fix airplanes, and so that's kind of where my career started. I was in the Air Force until 2007. Got out in 07, moved back home to Louisville, and joined corporate flight department there in Louisville, and they operated a Gulfstream 550, a couple Challengers, and that was kind of my intro to business aviation. I lucked out and landed a great job at a great company. And I was with them for almost 10 years and ultimately started off as a line guy and worked my way all the way up to being the program manager, crew chief, whatever you want to call it, and also a master technician on the G550. And so unfortunately that flight department was closed in October of 2017. And then I joined Flight Docs shortly thereafter in early 2018. And, you know, it's kind of just a long progression from you know, turning wrenches in the Air Force all the way to managing a Gulfstream to, you know, now being on the maintenance tracking side of things. And but it's, you know, it's been a fun career, been a long ride.
Sure.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
So how's that, you know, it's a bit of a change definitely coming from the day-to-day inside of a corporate flight department and moving into, you know, kind of the service provider side of things and what we do at Flight Docs. And you were actually a customer of Flight Docs before you were a team member here.
Yeah.
So give us a little bit of a rundown on how that transition's been for you.
Yeah, it's definitely weird. You know, I do work from home out of Louisville. And so working from home and rather than going to a hangar every day and you know, not being tied to a 24/7 flight schedule, working weekends and all that. So definitely a different vibe, different work environment. But it's I do enjoy it. It's a whole different set of challenges. And so, you know, I remember when I was with that company going to like the maintenance conference and seeing all the vendors, I always kind of wondered in the back of my mind what it would be like to be on that side of the house in aviation. And now that I am, it's, you know, I enjoy it. It's been I like the exposure to other flight departments, other ways of doing things that I didn't have before, because you get into that zone of, you know, this is the way we do it here and that's the way it is. And then now, you know, visiting other flight departments and other companies and seeing all the ways that everybody does it, it's a lot of unique exposure, but yeah, enjoy it. It's nice.
Sure. Yeah, I know. And, you know, we have, you know, thousands of customers and they do all different things.
Yeah, thousands of ways of doing it.
Yeah, I mean, from, you know, a corporate flight department to charter to law enforcement, cargo. I mean, our customers come in all shapes and sizes.
Yep.
So the differences that you see there, it's really neat to walk into different flight departments and get that exposure.
Right.
Now, you know, with Flight Docs, I know you've, like I said, you're on the customer success side. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about what that means. What does that team do here at Flight Docs, and how do you work with our customers?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, our 24/7 support, the customer service analysts, they're kind of your frontline support. And then when things go beyond that that need to get addressed, then that's where the customer success team will step in, whether that's, you know, that warrants us going on site and visiting the customer, or maybe just some emails back and forth, maybe taking a deeper dive or deeper look into the system. And then beyond that, big part of what we do is helping customers finish their transition. So they make the switch to Flight Docs, whether they're coming from another product or something is, you know, spreadsheets and paper logbooks, wherever they're coming from, we're kind of here to work with them through that process and help them take full advantage of flight docs and really make their life easier, save them some time, save them some money. And a lot of times they don't know where to start. They don't know what that process looks like and it's kind of like a lost puppy dog. And so we're here to help them, guide them, answer questions, and work through those processes.
Sure.
So,
and I know, you know, we were just talking about, you know, a smaller flight department, corporate flight department. I think they're in the insurance industry.
Right.
You know, a lot of these flight departments don't necessarily have like a project manager.
Right.
Exactly. So making a transition from one software to another, you know, they understand the advantages of it. They like what they see. They want to go from, let's say, a paper-based system to an electronic-based system. But it's everybody there already has a full schedule.
Right.
And it can be, when they're looking at making this change, they're like, wow, this is going to be a big deal for us.
Right.
This is going to be a lot. And that's a big part of what our customer success team is there for, mm-hmm. is really being able to go in and, you know, you understand how the flight department works. You've gone, yeah. personally in your past life had gone from a paper-based system, mm-hmm. to an electronic-based system. So
right.
you kind of seen that transition, and now you've helped, you know, dozens and dozens of operations make that transition. So being able to go on site and even within just one day, mm-hmm. like a half day, just being there, working with the customers, seeing what their current process is and pointing them in the right direction has made a huge difference for these operators.
Yeah, for sure. And that's, you know, with my role and my experience, I tap into that quite a bit, and I always, you know, can relate to those customers for the most part, you know, especially in the 91 world and in the Gulfstream side of things. That hits home for me. But like you said, we have thousands of customers, and there's thousands of case studies that we can look at and tap into, and partner customers together or lean on. Well, you know, this company did it this way, similar operation. Maybe you should, you know, let's take a look at that. You know, yesterday, had a meeting with a consultant with a company that's working with a 135 operation that also has the repair station side, and how do we merge those? And so that's what we're here for, whether it's, you know, those initial conversations, and we're working with them all the way through the FAA approval process. And each step of the way, we're, you know, here to answer the questions and show them how the system meets the requirements that they have to have. So, yeah, I enjoy that. It's a cool way of, you know, connecting with the customers and showing the value of our product. And then, you know, at the same time, knowing we're helping them be a better, safer, more efficient flight operation.
Sure.
Definitely the best part of this job.
Cool.
For sure.
So what type of, you know, where are you seeing the biggest benefits? You know, when you go in and you're working with an operation that's mm-hmm. new to flight docs, or maybe has, you know, started using flight docs, but is now trying to dig a bit deeper and start using some more of the features. Where are you seeing customers like kind of getting the biggest advantage?
One win that always goes over really well is the maintenance tags and inventory tags as well. But being able to group items together, you know, if you just want to run a quick report on, you know, items that probably wouldn't traditionally live under a parent-child code, but if you just want to see, you know, what's everything I need to do for a 1A inspection, tag it, and you can pull it up with, you know, quick search of the filter, and you have it, you can print it, you can export it, pull it up on the iPad. And it's neat to see people start to process that. Like, well, how can we group these things together? And what kind of reports do I have to run? Or, you know, a weekly, you know, inspection on an airplane, where's all those items at? You tag them, pull them up that way. Same thing with the inventory. If you have an onboard spares kit, you want to have all those parts come up on one report, you know, it can be done very easily. Another big win is the checklist, you know, having custom checklists. We all know that aviation revolves around checklists. It doesn't matter if you're a pilot, scheduler, maintenance technician, line guy, everything is checklist based. And with flight docs, you can build your own checklist on the fly for whatever you want. You know, again, I've seen it all from it's a Friday night, close down the hangar before everybody goes home checklist to safety inspections, tug inspections, maintenance. I mean, on and on and on and on and on. And so because our customers can build them whenever they want, edit them whenever they want, they don't have to call an analyst and wait, you know, 2 weeks for them to update an Excel sheet. They can do it on the fly, on their apps, on their phone, And so that's always a really big win.
Sure.
And I think a lot of customers don't initially go there, and they see it and they're like, okay, checklist, cool. And they kind of move past it. And then you explain it and show them the value. And then all of a sudden, next thing they know, they're running, you know, they have 100 different checklists in there that they use.
Sure.
So, yeah. Tags and checklists for sure are definitely two big ones. The inventory integration, you know, being able to pull up a component on your maintenance side, click a hyperlink, and then you're right into the part master. On the inventory side, you can see all the part information, times, 8130s, you know, everything, and it's a click away.
Sure.
That's a huge win.
Yeah. When we go out to these operations, one of the things that we're, you know, they may have started using FlightDocs, but maybe they're not taking advantage of the mobile capabilities just yet. Yeah. I know that that's a big part of our training is ensuring that they are using those applications. What are you seeing there? Kind of what are the biggest use features, and what are people adopting at kind of like the fastest rate?
The pilot dashboard for sure. It's, you know, especially kind of having that integration where you have the maintenance side of the house, but also your pilots, your operations. Most, I say modern flight departments, but certainly in your 91 jet aircraft, you know, just about everybody has has an iPad in the cockpit for the pilots, electronic flight bag or whatever. So they're already being utilized there. So for the pilots, they can pull up our app, and within one tap, they can pull up the status of the aircraft and have all the information that they would need as a pilot. So again, custom checklist, ramp check items, do list, they can write up a squawk, have the status of the aircraft all right there. So they're not diving into the system. They're not having to dig around. They're not having to ask the maintenance guys. It's all right there in front of their face. And I was on site about 2 weeks ago with a customer, and they live and die by the pilot dashboard.
Yeah.
You know, that is their pilot's number one thing. When they will come in to take a trip, they fly during night. And so they come in that evening, grab the pilot dashboard, and they know if they're have an aircraft to go fly, if it's available.
Sure.
Just based on the pilot dashboard. So that's a huge win. And then of course with that, the pictures and videos, and people always kind of chuckle when you say that, like, yeah, you can upload pictures and videos. And it's like, what do you want to do that for? And then you tell them, well, look, would you rather your pilot try to explain what the squawk was and what was going on in flight and what happened and all that? And, you know, that might not make any sense to the technician. The pilot might just not know what he's talking about. So you have that information, or you can have a video of what was going on. And then the beauty is they hit save and it's real time. Email notifications go out.
I think the biggest thing there is the word real time.
Yeah.
You know, we're going from a lot of operators, you know, I've visited flight departments where Monday morning printing out do lists.
Right.
They print out a do list for the week. They'd go and they drop it in the cockpit, and that was the status of the aircraft.
Right.
That said, you know, here's what's coming due for the week. As soon as that piece of paper is printed, it's out of date.
Exactly.
It's out of date. And so there's a lot of time and effort that goes into keeping up with that.
Yeah.
Obviously, some of our customers are very high utilization.
Mm-hmm.
They could be flying, you know, several trips during a week. There's a lot going on with these aircraft as they're flying around the country or overseas.
Right.
So having a real snapshot, a real insight into the real-time status of that aircraft is key.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's a big thing with the pilot dash is, you know, I just log in, first page there, I can see, you know, what's the next items that are coming due. Do I have any open discrepancies,
right,
any open MELs? And right from there, I know that my aircraft is good to go and good to fly. And I think, you know, as we're getting closer to the release of FlightDocs Operations,
mm-hmm,
our new platform, that experience is really going to be enhanced because we're going to be taking data from the maintenance side of things, the operation side of things, traditionally in two separate systems, and merging them into one view.
Yeah,
where everybody can, you know, everybody's on the same page. So I know, you know, a lot of your experience was on the maintenance side of things,
mm-hmm,
but you obviously had exposure to the flight operations
and
was part of, you know, making sure that a lot of these trips got off the ground on time. And you've also, you know, you've been involved in demoing that mm-hmm new product, taking feedback on it. What's your, you know, what are your thoughts on what that's going to do for our customers?
It's huge. You know, at a minimum level, just the communication. If I'm a scheduler, a dispatcher, and I want to know the status of an aircraft, again, talking about my previous experience, that meant the scheduler had to call us, you know, as the technicians. And if they're, you know, you're out there in the hangar, your elbows deep in an airplane trying to fix it, and then your phone's ringing, you know, you got everybody calling you, bugging you, is it done? And, I mean, honestly, in our department, that led to us having what we called a focused maintenance policy, and we had to put signs on the doors and silence your phones to keep people from bugging us so we could get the job done. And it's because that's just what it got to.
Sure.
So with operations, if I'm a scheduler, I can click on that aircraft. I don't even have to click on it. Excuse me. It's all right there. I see the status. If it's a work order, I click on it and see, okay, they're 89% done. I'm probably not going to make this trip. I need to reschedule it. You know? And then the communication tool, the instant messenger that's built into it. Again, I don't have to email and text. It's all in the system. So that's the communication part of it's huge. We were demoing a customer at the maintenance conference in Fort Worth earlier this year. And we showed it to him, and it's funny, his response was, "That's it?" Like, it's like, yeah. He goes, it's so simple. Like, what, you guys are missing stuff. And it's like, no, we're not. And he was expecting this to be so complicated, and it's, why? It doesn't need to be. It's dumb. You know, it's 2019. So that's a big one. In flight docs as a whole is that way. It doesn't take a lot to learn the system. You don't have to be, you know, Steve Jobs to know how to use it. Most operators, they log in for the first time, and within an hour, they're experts.
Sure.
And operations is very much that same way, and almost to the next level, because we have built it from scratch, and we've taken advantage of technology that's available today that we didn't have even a year ago, and that's just made it even, you know, even better, more efficient, easier to use. And again, we're saving people time. It doesn't matter what your role is in a flight department, we're going to save you time.
Cool.
So yeah, I'm excited for it to come out and see customers start, you know, taking advantage of it.
Sure.
I know there's a lot of positive energy and a lot of positive buzz around it. So
yeah, I know. You know, we're really excited about it. You know, we're coming down to the final stretch. Mm-hmm. We have, I guess, about a dozen customers that are in beta right now, and the feedback's really positive. Trying to work with a couple different types of operations to get feedback on it. And, you know, what we're seeing is really just what you said, is that, one, it's easy to use. Two, it's real time.
Yeah.
And three, it's just keeping the flight departments connected.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of disconnects out there in most flight departments. You're using different systems. You have different processes. You have, you know, different groups of people that don't communicate very well. And we're really trying to solve that through modern technology.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited for it. I know our team is. You know, being new inside of a software company.
Yeah.
I know that you've had a lot of experience in, you know, giving feedback, being part of our development meetings and sprint planning and things like that. Yeah. You know, I guess, can you give us a little bit of an idea of what that's been like in learning all of this, this side of things, and kind of how you've seen that maybe contrast with, you know, from being a customer, from other providers and things? Is there a difference in what you see we're doing here?
Yeah, the biggest thing is they're not computer geeks. They are software engineers and professional developers, and they are highly intelligent individuals. So, you know, being an airplane mechanic and coming here, and I'll get those computer geeks to work on it. Yeah, they are very intelligent professional guys and gals. So, but yeah, from the development side, you know, we're the only company that has a development team. So if a customer says, man, I really need this feature, then part of my job is to work with them and let's talk about it. And let's see what that looks like, whether it's just a button or maybe they want the cursor to show up here, you know, instead of over here. We talk about that. And then I take that and go to the development team and say, hey, this is what we're looking for. Here's why. Here's what it matters. You know, here's a whole list of customers that could benefit from that. And then we look at it and implement it and develop it. So to be able to do that is huge. Again, it's time savings on our side and for the customer as well. You know, like you said, we're on a 2-week release cycle. So every 2 weeks, something is coming out, whether it's a bug fix or a major enhancement. But that's a big win. And it's cool to be able to, you know, instant message one of the developers and say, hey, you know, what do you think about this? And get an answer right away. There's no calls to, you know, somewhere else in the world and to get a quick answer.
Sure.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, it's how we have things set up here, right. I think, is definitely unique. I love working with that team. You know, they're here locally.
Yeah.
You know, they're almost everybody is in our headquarters here in Southwest Florida, and it's great to be able to go out to a customer, look at their operation, say, you know, have work with them through the process and say, you know what, at step, you know, five, yeah. it would be great if this button was there, or if there was a hyperlink there, right. or, you know, if we could cut out a couple of steps by doing this, this, and this. And that's really, you know, that's really as the products, as time goes on, the product's been able to progress.
Right.
And change with technology, change with, you know, yeah. the processes and the way the industry is going. And it just ultimately is a positive for yeah. our customers.
Yeah, it's built to adapt and advance and evolve for a good way. It's not just here it is and this is the way it's going to be for 30 years. It's, you know, I mean, what, a month ago we did a big, you know, architecture update
sure.
behind the scenes. And that's only so we could make it better going towards the future. So it's always advancing, always evolving, and it's come straight from the customers.
Sure.
So yeah, that's a big win. Yeah.
Cool. I guess any, you know, as you're out there and traveling and visiting these operations, you know, a big part of your role is training
yeah.
and, you know, keeping our customers progressing with the times. Any trends and any tips for operations out there that are looking to really evolve?
You know, top of my, use our filters. Every screen has a filter on it. You know, that comes up somewhat often is, hey, you know, I'm trying to do this. I was just on a training call a few minutes ago and that very thing came up. They're trying to do, you know, how do I pull a list of my components? Well, use your filter and click on components and there's all your parts on the airplane. You know, it's that easy. So I do see, you know, coming from a competing software and our software, there's, you know, we did it this way on software X, and now, okay, well, here's how you do that. Same information, here's how you do it in flight docs.
Sure.
And usually it's, that's it? Like, yeah, just click on it, sure. there it is. You know, like, they're waiting for the steps 10, 11, 12, and you're done on sure. step two. So that's a big one, just, you know, utilizing, taking advantage of the filters, and so that way you customize the information that you want, and it cleans out the clutter.
I know a big question for a lot of operations, you know, as we're going through, you know, maybe somebody is coming to Flight Docs and looking at it for the first time yeah. before they're our customer, right? So they're going through one of our sales demos, mm-hmm. you know, we get them on the line, we talk a little bit about their operation and we take them through a demo yeah. of Flight Docs. And one of the big features inside of the system is our electronic signature yeah. and e-log books. And, you know, part of, in order to start using that, especially if you're, you know, 135 operation, is that you need to create processes around that.
Right.
And I know that you've been involved in, you know, helping some of our customers yeah. in doing that. Can you give a little bit of a rundown on you know, kind of what that process looks like?
Sure.
And, yeah. You know, obviously not in super detail, yeah, but yeah. just in general. And for anybody listening, you could always, you know, if you have questions about electronic signature, feel free to reach out to us. You know, John's mm-hmm. happy to help walk you through,
yeah.
you know, the highlights of how you can make this happen. But, you know, what are you seeing out there and,
yeah.
and how are we getting this done?
You know, the first thing, whether you're 91 or 135, we meet all the requirements laid out in Advisory Circular 120. And we have documentation. If your FISDO is looking for that, we can certainly provide it. And talking about the process side of things, we have a prototype SOP that we've written, and you can plug and play with that for you. So you don't even have to bother writing your own SOPs. We already give them to you based around using e-signature and flight docs. You know, but for the 135 world, it's a matter of laying out the processes of usually having a technician, an inspector, being able to double sign an item. The multi-factor authentication is a big part of that. So you can verify that you are the person signing it. You are the one logged in. It is your PIN number. Again, we have all that security in place. And then, you know, working with your FISDO to get the authorization for 135 to use your e-signature. And honestly, a big part of that, it comes down to your FISDO. A lot of them aren't really familiar with it, which can be used to your advantage. If you're going in to educate the FISDO while you're trying to get their approval for something, then the way you want to do it is the way you're going to teach them, and that's a big win.
The core of that advisory circular, 120/78A, it's kind of based on technology from quite some time ago, and there's really not a lot of detail around, the systems and exactly how you use it. It's really, kind of highlights the basic requirements, mm-hmm. and every system is going to meet those requirements a little bit differently. Right. So for sure, as we see the popularity of e-signature growing, mm-hmm. More FISDOs are definitely familiar with it, but there's definitely a learning curve there.
And, yeah.
We can kind of help you in pointing out how we meet these requirements, how the system handles electronic signature, and helping you get through that process.
Yeah, and that's, and the big thing is to remember, it is a transition. You don't have to just rip the Band-Aid off and go from paper to full electronic. Our system is built to accommodate that. So if you want to just put a technician's name and AMP number on a printed item, and then leave the signature line blank, you can certainly do that. If you want to leave it all blank and just handwrite everything in, you can certainly do that. Or, of course, obviously, you can go full e-signature. So it's the system, again, is built around how you want to use it. It's not a cookie-cutter system that you have to use it a certain way. Every operation is different. Like we said, we have thousands of customers, and there's thousands of ways to operate these airplanes. And flight docs, we meet those, meet you guys where you're at, and then help you get where you want to be.
Cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I know that you are you're heading back to Kentucky, and I appreciate you stopping in.
Yeah, thank you.
If anybody has any questions, about training on the system, about moving to electronic signature, feel free to reach out to John. He's always available, and we'll take it from there. So thank you for listening.
Yeah, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Yep. Thanks, John.